Our scripture this morning comes from 2 Corinthians. It is chapter 4. We'll read verses 3 through 6. So, 2 Corinthians 4, 3 through 6. For if the gospel we preach is hidden, it is hidden only from those who are being lost. They do not believe because their minds have been kept in the dark by the evil god of this world. He keeps them from seeing the light shining on them, the light that comes from the good news about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. For it is not ourselves that we preach. We preach Jesus Christ as Lord and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. The God who said, out of darkness the light shall shine, is the same God who made his light shine in our hearts to bring us the knowledge of God's glory shining in the face of Christ. Now, praise be to God for the reading of his word. Pray with me just a minute. Lord, have your way. Through the message this morning, through the reading of Scripture, through the hymns that we sing and the prayers that we pray, have your way in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. The message this morning is quite a bit about light. I haven't seen it for a while. You know, we had sunshine there a little bit for a couple days, but by and large for the last bit of time, we haven't seen too much sun. It's been cloudy, hasn't it? And there is a thing that's called seasonal affected disorder. It's a real illness. I have a friend of mine that suffers with this. And in the winter months, when there's not as much light as in the summer, he has issues. There's a certain amount of sadness to his life that it wouldn't normally be there. There's a certain amount of challenge that isn't there in the summertime. And so we can understand that light is very, very important if it's going to affect us in those kinds of ways. And even for us who aren't challenged by that particular thing, oh, when we get too many cloudy days in a row, we miss the light, don't we? Have you ever played blind man's bluff? Or maybe when you were a kid, been a part of that? We played that as kids. It was a lot of fun. For those of you who don't remember or those of you who don't know about this game, you put a bunch of children in the room and then you get a volunteer and all they have to do is find the other children that are in the room. Well, except they're blindfolded. And then the blind man has to move around the room and find everybody else. Now, you're not allowed as everybody else. You pick a spot after the blindfold goes on. Then you have to stand there. But before you stop standing, you take a chair or something and you place it somewhere in the room. Well, the blind man or the blind lady doesn't know where all those things are. And they go around the room. They grope. They stumble sometimes. They bump into the obstacles in trying to touch the rest of the players in the game. This game, I think, paints a really good picture of the way many people go through this life. Oh, they look good on the outside. We put on our good face too. How many of you, when somebody asked you this morning, how are you today? And you looked at them and you said, I'm just fine. Except there might be something in you that needs a little tender care. And we just sort of keep it to ourselves. And there's so many people that in this world, they look okay on the outside, and yet they're groping around in the darkness. They're stumbling into things. They're bumping into things. They're falling over the things in their path, and they don't know what to do. And Christ is the answer. You see, when God appeared to Moses, he first caught Moses' attention, as you remember, in a burning bush. And when Moses asked him, well, what is your name? We translate that out into English. It's not a perfect translation, but it works well. Yahweh. And the meaning for that is, I am who I am. That's God's name. I am who I am. But do you know that it would take Jesus to come who could really reveal to us the I am? Who could really help us to see the I am? And then Jesus in different places in Scripture describes himself, and he's describing God. And Jesus says, I am the bread of life. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the light of the world. The light of the world. And so there you have it. No more do we have to stumble through this life in darkness. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. He is our light. Jesus has been around since before the beginning. We'll go and read John's Gospel, the very first words in chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word. Jesus is the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was what? The light of men. Christ came to bring light, you see, into the darkness of this world, and His light shines brightly. He came so that you and me, we might have life, and that we might walk with His light in us, in our hearts. In Hebrew thinking, your heart was the essence of who you were, the central part of you. And here's Jesus, and He says, I want to take up residence in your heart. And I want to shine. The Corinthian church happened to be under attack. The church in our day is under attack. People were questioning Paul's authority as an apostle, and his honesty. And in handling those attacks, Paul did something really quite different. He doesn't defend himself. It is our human nature to defend ourselves when we're attacked. And yet, Paul, who had really great credentials, he had an experience with the Lord, and if anyone should have or could have defended himself, certainly Paul was it, and yet he chose not to. Why? Why? And as a matter of fact, Paul even speaks of his weaknesses. He doesn't triumph his victories. He speaks of his weaknesses. You see, Paul wanted to help the Corinthians to be focused not on Paul himself, but on Jesus. This past week, some of us were over at Pine Lake Camp, and we were watching videos on healing, and one of the presenters talked about a man. They have a place that's called the Healing Room. It's down in Nashville. And people come there. They're not attached to a church. They're a storefront. And they just invite people to come where they can be prayed for healing. Mind and soul and spirit and body. And they can just come. And there was a man that came in and he was troubled by some things and was prayed for. The presenter of this talk had prayed for him and he was healed of that. He came back a couple weeks later and he said, I'm healed of that. And he says, but this is troubling in my life. Would you pray for this? And the presenter, he prayed for him again and the fellow was healed. And a couple of weeks later, he came back to the healing room. And he had something else that he wanted this fellow that was presenting to pray for him for healing. And the man says, no, I won't pray for you. Because if I keep praying for you, you think I'm doing this. And all I am is just the person in the healing room, and the one who's healing you is Jesus. He looked at the man and he said, if you want healing, and you want healing forever, then you pray for yourself. The guy had come this time for physical healing, and so he took his hands and he put them on top of his head. You know that's the international sign of surrender? He surrendered to God. And he said, God, this is what hurts on me, and can you heal it? And he was healed. But he had even a better lesson than the healing of Christ upon his life. He realized that it was Christ that was doing it. Oh, as you and I pray for one another, that's our power. We can do nothing, but we know this one that's in our hearts that shines the light. And he has the power to heal. He has the power to forgive. He has the power to help people reconcile with each other. And then we can know that we're a part of shining the light into the world. You see, there's conflicts in our lives. There's conflicts in the church. And one of the very best ways to settle a conflict in the church is simply to rely on Jesus for wisdom, to rely on Jesus for how we're to settle a conflict, how we're to work it out. You see, as people, we all have different agendas. Christ only has one. The glory of his kingdom and how the church can be used in that. The church, you see, has one mission, and that's to further God's kingdom. And so if you ever bump into a conflict here at Faith Community United Methodist Church, boy, get together. Invite me to come with you, because I love to pray. And we'll pray through that. We'll work it out, and we'll do it for God's glory so that this corner of Greenville can shine with the light of Christ. Some of the folks in the Corinthian church were saying that Paul's message about Christ was obscure. It was unclear. It was created in a way that caused more confusion than clarity. But read the rest of the chapter. Read the rest of the book of 2 Corinthians. You'll very quickly discover that Paul's message was very clear. It was the gospel. It was about Jesus Christ and him alone. But Paul knew some folks just wouldn't get it. You could talk to them all day and they just wouldn't get it. Why? Why? You see, they were like the blindfolded man in Blind Man's Bluff. They could not see, even though the lights were on in the room. The blindfold was in the way. The people who are blinded like this, they are under the influence of, in the scriptures, it's called the God of this age. And when you look at it, that God is with a small g. It's not the God the Father. It's not Jesus. It is the God of something else in our lives. The God of this age, by the way, is a title for Satan. the great deceiver, and Satan is so good at deceiving, he does not have to convince us to believe in him for his terrible and dastardly deeds to be done. All Satan has to do is get our focus off of Christ. Do you hear that? All that Satan has to do is to get our focus off of Christ. And then he will succeed in keeping our minds blindfolded so that we can't see the truth. And Satan will do anything. He will do everything to keep you from seeing God. You see, God is invisible. It's 1 Timothy 6:15 and 16. Listen, God the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone is immortal and who lives in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see. To him be honor and might forever. Amen. Timothy was praying for you and for me. If we want to see God, we just need to look to Jesus. And he will be revealed. You see, Jesus as God's Son is God's visible appearance. Jesus not only reflects the Father, but he reveals God to us. Christ's glory expresses all of divine glory. Jesus is not a copy, but he is the very embodiment of God himself. He's an exact imprint of God's very being. To know Jesus is to know God. The gospel is open and revealed to anyone and everyone who chooses to believe in Jesus. In our world, there's such a bunch of temptations. There's the attraction and temptation of money and power and pleasure. And all of that can blind us if we are not careful. Can blind us to the light of Christ. It is those who reject Christ that they unknowingly and unwittingly have blinded themselves to the truth. They have darkened their minds. And Paul speaks to us, it's in verse 5 of the scripture today, about why Paul was preaching about the light. It's quite simple. Paul was preaching Jesus Christ and his death on the cross. You see, let me remind you, Jesus came and when was rejected by a large group of the whole population, rejected by the leadership in the church. And then they thought they had solved the problem. They would just kill him. They would crucify him and then he would go away. And in that very act, he now claimed victory forever, because in his death was resurrection, and in his resurrection is life. And so Paul preached Christ and Christ alone. Paul preached that Jesus was the only way to have salvation. If Paul was here today, that's exactly what he would tell you. And then he would tell you with great humbleness that Jesus is the Lord of his life. Look up Lord in the dictionary. This is what it says in the HarperCollins. A title of dignity, Lord. A title of dignity and honor, acknowledging the power and authority of the one so addressed. In calling Jesus Lord, We give acknowledgement to the one who is really in control of our life. The one who, if we choose, we can give up planning our destiny. We can just give it to Jesus. We live for today. We make plans for tomorrow, but we trust in the Lord because He has the very best in mind for you. It will not be trouble-free. You may even have to suffer, but it'll be the best. And so when you and I, that's the great question for you this morning. That's your homework for this week. Don't answer it right now, but sometime this week, think about it. Get alone and talk to Jesus and ask Him, have I given up control of my own life? Have I turned it over to You? And if I have, is there a piece or a part of it that I have not? Is there a smidge that I have not let go of yet and given it to You? And if He shows you something, then you ask Him, how do I fix that? And then let Him work in your life. You'll be blessed in greater ways than you even know. Paul, in this letter, he says that he is a servant. He's a servant to the people of the Corinthian church. Here was a man with all kinds of things going for him. Had it going for him when he was a Pharisee, really had it going for him now that he was a disciple of Jesus. He was an apostle. And yet, Paul knew, I cannot force people to believe in Jesus. You and I, as good as Jesus is, and as much as we want Him in the lives of the people that we know and we love, we cannot force it upon them. That's a decision they have to make on their own. And so, in Paul understood he was a servant of Christ. You and I are a servant. We can tell the story. We can love people. We can teach them the gospel, but they have to make the choice. We are merely servants in Christ's vineyard. Oh, but what a joy it is to be a servant in the household of the Lord. Paul willingly served the Corinthian church. He served other places too. But in this case, he's serving in the Corinthian church despite the fact that not everyone would believe, that there would be the ones that would disappoint Paul. Paul sacrificed his time. He sacrificed his personal desires. But he served. Rather than promoting his own importance, he was called to serve others and help them grow. And that's exactly what you and I are called to do. We need to discover the needs of others, the concerns of others, and then treat them as more important than our own stuff, our own issues. And in doing that, Christ will not ignore you. He will not leave you alone. He will take care of your stuff too. But in that way, someone else will see the light of Christ. You see, the light of Christ exposes falsehood. It exposes evil for what it is, a perversion of all that is good. Go back and read in Genesis when God created things. What did He say? Every time He finished a work, He said, and it was good. And then something happened, and you know that story too of Adam and Eve and the apple, and ever since we've had to deal with the things that have been created as good, but now have been perverted as evil. But you see, evil cannot stand up under the presence of Christ. If you look in the scriptures, every single time Christ came into the presence of one of the evil ones, one of the demons, all of them, every single one, had to submit to the authority of Christ. Satan would lie to us and tell us we don't need that. Satan would lie to us and he would try to cause us to be blind to the truth. But the light of Christ is greater than the darkness of Satan. God illumines our minds, the minds of the believers, so that we can know with certainty, with assurance, that in Jesus' face, we see God. Oh, my friends, if and when you have doubts about your faith in Christ, ask the Holy Spirit to shine the light of Christ new and fresh into your heart. And then spend some time reading God's Word. Spend some time submitting your questions about your faith to God Himself, and you will receive the answers that you need. Because Jesus is your light, as well as the light of the world. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for who you are and what you do for us. And so this day, once again, would you literally light up our life? Not in the worldly way, but in the true Spirit of God. And we pray and we ask in the name of your Son, Jesus.